Sims, I love you.
Oh, come on, somebody. Why don't we just keep that going for just another few more moments to the Lord? Father, we are so grateful for your presence that is in this room, your glory that has filled this atmosphere, your power that is present. We don't take this lightly or flippantly, but Lord, we honor your presence today. We are your people, sheep of your pasture. So we come before your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. Lord, we're going to be thankful unto you and we're going to bless your holy name. We declare, oh God, that it is you that has made us and not we ourselves. So Lord, have your way, Holy Ghost, in this house. God is so good. It is. Let me take my cough drop out. Y'all gonna be okay if I do that? I'm gonna put it back in a minute. I don't want to spit it on Brother Harper. It is really wonderful to be here. It's been a long time since I've been able to, at least a little over a year since I've been able to see my buddy. And it's so good to be with you. Can't tell him how much I love him, and I'm so grateful for his friendship. Now, getting real close to 20 years. It's been a minute since that youth rally in Mobile back in 07, I believe, is when that was. And that's been a minute. And just excited to see what God's going to do. Because somehow, God's going to get some glory out of this. I'm trying to be very sensitive right now. Because I've got a message that's ready, and it's a firecracker. I just don't know if it's right. There's an old song. I don't know how old it is, and when I say it, you may think, well, that's not old. To me, it's old. Goes back some time. And this is what it says. I have journeyed through the long, dark night, out on the open sea, by faith alone, sight unknown, but yet his eye, it's watching me. Then the chorus goes, the anchor holds. Though the ship is battered, the anchor holds. Though the sails are torn, I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging sea. The anchor holds. In spite of the storm. Y'all can be seated. Thank you so much for standing. I don't know where I'm going or what I'm doing. I'm just going to try to follow the Lord. John chapter 10, the Bible makes reference to our adversary, and it calls him the thief. It says the thief comes for to steal, kill, and destroy. Then the Bible says, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. But I want you to not miss, because if you're like me, this is what I assign the devil primarily. I focus on the three things that he came. I kind of focus most on the killing. And he is a murderer. But in John chapter 10:10, he's a thief. So that tells me that his primary mission there, what the Lord was trying to get us to see and understand about him, is that he is a thief. And he's coming to steal. And here's the thing about a good thief. A good thief can steal from you and you don't even know it's gone. Until you go reach for it, and when you go to reach, you can't find it. Then you realize the thief has come to your house. The thief's come. I want to tell you what he's after. Can I do it? He's trying to snatch your hope. Because if he can steal your hope, if he can steal your belief that there is a better day. The Bible says in Romans, I'm saved by hope. The Bible says in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, that this hope I have, and it's an anchor for my soul. He wants my hope. My hope that my marriage can be restored. My hope that my ministry can be restored. My hope that my health can be restored. And he's trying to align situations and circumstances that you can, that he can get your eyes on something. But I've got two words. But God. But God. I sent Desmond a whole 15 scriptures. Not using them. I don't have one note. But I've got some scriptures. This is what the Lord told me to tell this church. Someone is fixing to experience a but God. And what I did is I've got this Bible program that's really neat. And I just typed in those two words, but God. That exact phrase is mentioned 46 times in your Bible. Can I just give you a couple of them? Let me give you the first one. I like the way the first one starts out. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said, buddy, you're a dead man because you've taken the woman of a man, of another man's wife, and this man is a prophet. A liar, but a prophet. A con man, but a prophet. A coward, but a prophet. God's Abimelech said, I'm going to take her for mine. But the Bible said, but God came in and messed up his plans. And we would look at Abraham and say, Abraham wasn't even worthy for God. That's how humanity is. I've just blown it. I've just messed up. I've just fell in it. I've just opened my mouth and I've inserted both of my feet. But I still have a God. Let's go on. Can we do it? The next one, Genesis 31. Your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God. But God did not allow him to hurt me. The swindler got matched up with the swindler. And the swindler started swindling. The cheat got matched up with the cheat. Right? And the Bible said there was a day Laban got ticked off and wanted to hurt him. But the Bible said, but God came in a moment, gave him a dream and said, you be careful, not just what you do to him. You be careful what you say. Let's go on. So it was not you in Genesis chapter 48 that sent me here, but God. Yeah, you meant it for evil, but God sent me here. You thought you sent me here. You didn't send me here, but God sent me here. This is powerful. Here's another one. Israel said to Joseph, behold, I'm dying, but God. But God. But God. Another one. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. You were trying to hurt me, and I know, I understand you hated me. But God orchestrated this moment, and God did not deliver you into my... God sent me here. First Samuel 23, this is powerful. David stayed in the stronghold in the wilderness and remained in the mountains in the wilderness of Ziph. Saul sought him every day. But God. But God did not deliver him into his hand. You got an adversary. He is like a roaring lion and he is seeking you every day. But God. But God is not going to deliver you into his hand. Listen to 2 Chronicles 20 and 15. He said, listen, all you inhabitants of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord your God, do not be afraid. Don't be dismayed because of this multitude. Why? For the battle is not yours, but God's. But God. See, this thing that you're going through, it ain't yours. It's God's. It's God's. Yeah, what I'm dealing with, the situation that I'm going through, as unpleasant as it is, doesn't belong to me, but it belongs to God. Job 24:23, but God draws the mighty away with his power. He rises up Job 34 and 5. I'm sorry, Psalms 49 and 15. I like this. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. He shall pull me up. Psalm 64 and 7. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow suddenly, and my enemies shall be destroyed. Psalm 68 and 21. But God will wound the head of my enemy. The hairy scalp, listen how David says this, the hairy scalp of the one who goes against me. Psalm 78 and 28, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Yeah. Yeah. Woo! But God, Isaiah 17 and 13, the nations will rush in like the rushing in of many waters, but God will rebuke them. Can I give you a kingdom principle? This is how things work in the kingdom. Jesus was teaching a kingdom principle, and he said, disciples, this is what my kingdom is like. My kingdom is like a man that went into a field and sowed good seed. He sowed good seed. At the same time he was sowing good seed, the Bible says an enemy came and sowed some bad seed. So this is what he said. And this is what messes with people's mind, especially church folks, because we get into the house of God and we think our troubling days are over. And we don't understand why it is that when we come and we surrender and we commit our heart to God, and then we have troubles and problems and trials. Jesus said they got good stuff growing up, there's bad stuff growing up, and they're growing up together. And he said, just let them alone. Let it grow for a while. There's going to come a time when I'm going to come in and I'm going to make a separation and I'm going to make a distinction. But here's where I got to be careful. I've got to be careful that I don't get caught up looking at the trouble, looking at the negative and looking at the bad. Because if I focus on that, I can get weary and I can lose heart and I can begin to faint in my mind. This is why the apostle said, don't be weary in well-doing. Because it may seem like you're doing well's not producing for a while. But God, some plants, some waters, ready? But God. But God gives the increase. But God, here's another one I really like. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, he raised us up together that we can sit with him in heavenly places. And when did he bestow this love on us? While I was dead in my... That's when God commended his love. Charles Dickens is recorded with this. He said a statement. I believe it's true. I believe it describes the days in which we're living in right now. He said, it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It's great and it's terrible. It's, in fact, Paul said to Timothy, the days in which you and I live in, he described it with a word. Anybody know? Perilous. These are perilous times. Then Peter got up and he started preaching. And Peter said the last days, he didn't reference the peril, he referenced the power. He did not deny the peril, but he focused on the power. He said there is going to be a day. He referenced the prophet Joel. He said it's going to come to pass in the last days, saith God. The same days that are full of peril, they're going to be filled with power. Because he said, I'm going to pour out of my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Ready? He just goes, he runs the gauntlet. So there ain't two of those days. There's one. We live in it. We're seeing things and hearing things. Ready? Wars. Rumors of it. Nation rising up against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. Country against country. Family against family. Home against home. But God. But God. But God. I ain't got no notes. Let's see what else. Let's see if we got any more scriptures. Oh, this is a good one. Romans 6:17. But God be thanked that though you were a slave to sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. But God has chosen, you ready? The foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. I know I'm talking to some folks, and you've walked through and went through some but God moments where it looked like you was going down. It looked like you was on your way down. It looked like you was on your way out, and people were even looking at you and wondering if there was any way that you were going to come back. But here you are today. Still married, but God. Still sane. Because the enemy not only wants to take your hope, he wants to steal your mind. If he can just get your mind off track. If he can just pull you away in your mind and you lose your mind, you've lost you. But God. But God. You okay? Abraham was on the way up a mountainside. Had his boy in one hand, a knife in the other. Daddy, I see the fire, I see your knife, and I see the wood. Where's the lamb, Daddy? Where's the offering, Daddy? Listen, something's going on. He's coming up this way, but God's sending something up the other way that he can't see. What is that? What am I telling you? That's a but God moment. That's a but God moment. I've already referenced Joseph, but that was a but God. Moses, floating down the river. You understand that's a but God moment. Because Pharaoh had already issued a decree. I want you to kill all the boys. Kill them all. Throw them in the river. But God raised up some Yeah. God raised up some folks. God raised up a mama that said, I'm not going. The Bible said it was by faith. I'm not going to fear the king's command. And by faith, I'm going to put him in an ark and I'm going to send him down the crocodile-infested Nile River. That was a but God moment. That was a but God. Daniel, you better stop that praying. You don't stop praying, we're going to put you in a den of hungry lions. But God. Hell's fighting him right here. Going through hell over here. But over here, God is sending an angel. Daniel can't see the angels. But the angels are coming. And the Bible said when he got in the den that there was somebody in there waiting on him and they had done went ahead and you're going to see him, but what you see can't touch you. What you're seeing's not going to be able to. What you're seeing's not going to be able to hurt you. That reminds me of an illustration. I heard Wayne Huntley use. Maybe you've heard this illustration. Let me say it right here because this is powerful. I think the year was sometime in the 80s. There was a Wisconsin Badger football game going on, and they were playing the Michigan State Spartans, I think is what they are. It didn't take long, what Huntley said. The game was out of the realm of possibility for the home team Badgers to come back. It was without hope. Fourth quarter, game's got 3 or 4 minutes left. Suddenly, the home field started shouting. Now, their team was getting beat. If you're a sports fan, you know that's very odd behavior. Because you're sitting there at home, the game is over. You're not coming back. You ain't got enough time to come back. But now you're shouting. The opposing coaches got wild-eyed, bewildered. The home coaches got wide-eyed and bewildered. Has our fans lost it? Have they went crazy? This is what he said. He said what had happened was this strange phenomenon. While there was a game going on right here in Wisconsin, 70 or 80 miles away, there was another game being played. This was a baseball game. And I wish I could tell you who it was, but I can't remember exactly who it was. But it was one of them teams that's close to Wisconsin. They were in the fourth game of the World Series. And the home team was winning. And a lot of the fans had brought in this portable radio. And they were listening to it at the same time they were watching something. So what they were doing, and this is the principle on this, they were not responding to what they were watching. They were responding to what they were hearing. They were not responding to what they were seeing, but they heard something that was that caused them to, okay? At the same time, what they were watching looked like they were getting totally defeated and annihilated. They were watching defeat, but they were hearing victory. And I think that's the name of his message. That sums up our Christian experience, because our adversary is going to do his best to put something in front of me that I can watch a thing going on in front of me that talks me out of what God is putting in me. Elijah said, what I'm seeing with my eyes is a small cloud. But what I'm hearing with my ears is not matching what I'm seeing with my... And that's the way it's always going to be. What I'm seeing with my eyes is never going to match what I'm hearing with my ears. I'm hearing this. I'm watching this. I'm looking at this. This is what I'm seeing. But this is what I'm hearing. I'm hearing an abundance. I'm seeing infirmity, but I'm hearing healed.
I'm seeing bondage, but I'm hearing deliverance. That is God. Do you understand? What that is, your God coming in and intervening in a situation. And this is the way God likes to roll. At the last minute. I think God loves to give you a come from behind victory. You know, the kind when the other team is done, they've done got the celebration going and they've done got the party started. I think that's when God really likes to step in and turn the... Because what is it? Man, those type of games, I talk about this with Pastor all the time. When those type of games, you say, man, I wish we'd have just got blew out. But we had it. And they came back at the end and ripped our... I think God likes toying with the adversary like that. I thought I had him. I thought it was over. This was going to be the thing that took him down. Fate sealed over, put in the grave, dead and buried. Woo! But God stepped in. God stepped in. Turn that fire up 7 times hotter. Go ahead, turn it up. Turn it up, because God. But God, who is rich in mercy. I like this one too. Can I give you another one? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such that is common to man. Man, Desmond's quick back there. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Woo! But God. This is another thing the Bible says, and it kind of goes with what's running around in my mind. Talking about the perilous of our times, the power of our time, what I'm looking at, what I'm hearing, what I'm watching, what I'm witnessing, what I'm allowing to steal my focus. The Bible says in Romans, I think, where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. That means when you look around and you see sin on 10, grace steps in on 11. That means however bad you see it, however bad it gets, there's never going to be more bad than there is God. But I've just got to be able to understand that I'm going to have to function in succession with this happening and with that happening. I've always wondered, why does it feel, and I think Paul felt this way in Romans chapter 7. Because in Romans chapter 7, he makes some crazy, he said, I've got an internal struggle going on inside of me. He said, I legitimately want to do right. I want to be right. I want to do the right thing. I want to be holy. But he said, I got this thing that I find this, he said, a law. When I want to do good, evil is present with me to the one that wants to do good. He said, I got this conflict going on. And a lot of times we get to the point where when it gets good, I'm going to come to God. When the devil quits pulling on me, I'm going to come to God. The devil don't ever quit pulling. He don't ever quit messing with you. He don't ever quit coming for you. But what's our word? but God. But God. Philippians 2:27. For indeed, he was sick, almost unto death. But God. But God had mercy on him. Not on him only, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. But God. There's a song and it talks about he may be 4 days late, but he's still on time. Because when God shows up, God takes over. I'm so thankful. Zula, you want to come and just give me a sound on the keys? Because I'm wrapping up and I'm winding it down. But this is what I want to share with you before we close. I'm so thankful that God has chosen to relate to me and reveal himself to me as my Father. As my Father. Because I didn't really understand the impact of it until I became a father. And then when I became a dad, and I know how I view my children, and I know the methods and the means that I would go to assure their safety, their security, and their peace. When I consider that and I know me. And then God said, I want you to know that I am your Father. And if you know how to give a good thing and do a good thing for yours and your evil, what do you think that would say about me, who is the source of good? So I became a father, and I got this revelation, and it totally, I can't articulate to you the peace that it caused to come over me. I had a thing happen when I was a teenager. It chokes me up to this day. Because I was 17. I done outgrew my dad. I was probably stronger than him at that time. He was about 37. But I had went to church, and this guy that had a problem with me during this time, who was a criminal. Just, he's done prison time for attempted murder, just crazy stuff. He shows up at the church that night, and he sits about 3 rows behind me. And Dad sat on the platform, and he said, this guy just stared at me like he was burning a hole in the back of my head. I knew he was there, but I was oblivious to the stare that was going on. After service, Dad called me up to him and said, listen, this guy's here for no good. I want you to take your sister. Y'all go home. Just leave right now. Go out the back door. So I slept out the back door. Slipped out. No more than I get home, this joker pulled in behind me. I knew why he was there. He was there. Anybody ever heard that song, Fifth City? He was there to throw some fists. I knew it. So I just said, okay, here we go. I started taking stuff off. Pulled my shirt off. I walked outside. I don't like fighting. I ain't been in many of them. You know what that means? I can't do it. Because I ain't been in many. I'd look very awkward. You started seeing me throw hands. I'd have to take it to the ground. I'd just grab you and just wrestle this. So I'm out there, but I'm ready. Well, my sister had walked back inside. While I was outside, nose to nose with this joker. And she had called Dad. Said, Dad, so-and-so's here. He's trying to fight. Dad was at the church. The church was 10 miles away from where I was at. Somehow, Dad got to the house in 3 minutes. Dad got to the house in 3 minutes. What'd you say, Elder?
That's what they do.
I told you, I would already at this point, I'd outgrew Dad. But Dad at 37 he'd been something to handle. They come in, we had a Ford Explorer. We had a driveway that was real long. It was dirt full of potholes. They come in that driveway going about 40, bouncing. And Dad jumps out of the car going about 20. I'm not kidding. He jumped out and he's running before his feet ever hit the ground. As he's in the air, he's taking his sleeves and he's rolling them up. He's got a watch. He slings it off. And before he ever gets to his feet hit the ground, he's got sleeves up and his watch is off. And he positions himself between me and my adversary. And with, Pastor, I saw a side of Dad that day I didn't know was there. He had something come over his eyes. They changed. Something got in his voice. I didn't know it was there. I knew him as a loving and a caring father, but on this day, I saw him as a defender. I didn't have to fight. Neither did Dad. Because when Dad got there, it was a whole lot of, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Oh, God, forgive me. I didn't mean it. It was a whole lot of backtrack. It was a whole lot of backing up. I'm telling you what the Lord spoke to me. I think I did a kind of a terrible job articulating because he gave me two words. But God. But God, and this is what I feel that someone is fixing to happen. You're going to be experiencing this divine reversal. It looked like this thing was heading this way. It looked like it was trending this way. And you're fighting hell right here. But you've got a God, and you have not saw the manifestation of it yet. But he is on his way to where you're at. And when he gets there, you're not going to have to throw a punch. You're not going to have to throw a blow. Because this battle is not yours, but it's God's. It belongs, and He is your Father. And as a father pities his children, so doth the Lord. His eyes, the Bible said, are on you. His ears, they're opened up to your cry. So you have a choice today. You have a choice. I'm going to reference back to the Old Testament. Whose report will you believe? Whose report are you going to believe? The reason they asked that question is because there were two. You've got two options. You can believe the report of the Lord, or you can look around at your surroundings and you can see the giants. And you can believe the report of your adversary. You can believe what his report says. Which report will you believe? Elijah told the people that day, he said, how long are you going to vacillate between two beliefs? You're trying to follow God in the right hand, but you got to hold a Baal with the left. And you're double-minded. And he said, let's settle this thing once and for all. I'm going to tell you, let the God that answers by fire, let him be God. So what am I going to believe today? Am I going to believe the things that's going on around me? Or am I going to believe my God that put a thing in me? For me personally, I'm going to tell you this, and though I'm not physically going through it, right now, my mother and my best friend are going through it. This is a weird time for me. And I'm not making this about me because, like I said, I'm not going through it. But every day, I have to get up. And I tell myself, Mama, I'm not believing the report of what I'm seeing. I know you're sick and I know you're feeling bad. But I'm not believing that report. Pastor, I know you, and I know you're feeling bad, but we're not believing that report. That resonated, what you shared about Sister, that resonated in my spirit. I felt that inside my bones. I felt that in my bones. That this is coming up. We're coming out. The apostle put it like this. He said, we are perplexed on every side, hard pressed, but we're not in distress. We're persecuted, but I'm not destroyed. I may be cast down, but I'm still intact. I'm not saying that I'm not being fought, but I'm saying I'm not defeated. So I want you to just stand to your feet with me. And I'm going to even invite invite you to come down to the front. And as I'm coming down, this is what I'm saying, and this is my declaration as I make my way down. I'm making my way down now, and this is a declaration of a decision. I am determined today that I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. That song said it like that. His report says, I am healed. His report says, I am filled. His report says, I am free. His report says, victory. I'm coming down and I am believing the report today of my God. I reject the report of my adversary. He is a thief and he is a liar. He will not steal my peace. He will not steal my hope. He will not steal my joy. He will not take my love. He will not take my mind. He will not cause my soul to drift, because I have an anchor, both sure and steadfast. And I've anchored it. I have anchored it to that which is within the veil. As they begin to sing, now I want you to just, in your mind, I want you to get a glimpse of your Father doing what it was for me on that day physically. But now I want you to get a glimpse of your God doing that for you to this day spiritually, in the spirit. I see him coming. I see him. He's on his way. I see him with a sword in his hand. I see him. I see him with arrows. I see him with a quiver. I see him with a word. And my hope rests squarely and firmly and securely in the Lord Jesus Christ. All my hope, it's in Jesus. All of it, I anchor it in you. I will not be dismayed. I will not be distracted. I will not be discouraged. But I lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, who is the maker of heaven and earth. That's where I have my help. That's where I have my hope. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. We find our safety and our security today in the tower. My God is my ever-present help when I'm in trouble. When I'm feeling alone and when I'm feeling forsaken, I have a promise. Lo, I'll be with you always, even to the ends of this earth. I will never let you go. Oh, yeah. Listen to it, listen.
Waymaker, miracle worker.
Somehow.
Promise keeper.
Some way.
Light in the dark.
You're doing it, God. You're
my
doing
God,
it.
My God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle
you're coming.
Worker. Promise keeper. Light
my
in the
hope
darkness.
Is in you.
My God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper.
I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. Never stop, you never stop working. When I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 Promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop 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 working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. Never stop, you never stop working.
Good move of His Spirit. I believe anything can happen in this atmosphere. I believe some things have happened. You know, living for God, you never know what's on the journey. We used to sing an old song. back in the old day, wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Got to make it to heaven somehow. Y'all remember that old song? They said the guy that was inspired to write the song was because there was a guy in the church somewhere in the panhandle of Florida, and they'd ask him, they'd say, "Hey brother, how you doing?" He'd say, "Wouldn't take nothing for my journey now." And so after him saying that over and over, somebody was inspired to take that phrase and write that song. Well, the guy that inspired the song became deathly sick. He got a lung disease. And this was back in the 60s probably. And they put him in a room, but nobody could go in there. He had to put on all kind of stuff to cover your face because he was very susceptible to sickness. And he was laying there not far from his deathbed. And the pastor went in and he said, "Brother, how you doing?" And he said, "I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now." If you never get that kind of mentality and mindset, you can make it living for God down here in this world. Because no matter what happens to us down here, it's just a small weight compared to the glory that we have in Christ Jesus. It's just a little weight for what we got coming on the other side. One day we're going to worship in heaven and it's never going to stop. The Lamb will lay with the lion. Tears shall be no more. No more heartache. No more death. No more disease. No more cancer. No more ambulances. No more ERs. No more funerals. It'll all be gone. And we'll be with our King forever. Somebody say amen. Thank you, Brother Sims. You did a wonderful job. Looks like he left me some notes up here too. But it's great to see everybody. And I think, come on. Wouldn't take nothing.
67 years.
Wow.
And yes, my father was my pastor up until 79. But little Diana, 15 years old, couldn't go to heaven on his merits.
Right. That's right.
And he took my sins away. And that was 1958.
Wow.
That's 67 years. Officer 3rd was the best day of my life.
Yes.
And yes, ups and downs.
Yeah.
Hills.
Yep.
And I'm not seeing you like you are. I'm seeing you eat, and yes, I'm going to cook you some country fried medicine.
Amen. Amen. I'll eat it. I'll eat it. I promise you. Amen. What a tremendous day. What a great service. What a good message. What a great atmosphere. What a great group of people. But most importantly, what a great God. Give Him a hand clap.